speech at birthday party.
It is often said that as we get older, we should take life more gently. The age of maturity is a time of serious reflection. When you get older, you should slow down and live a quiet life. How dull! I refuse to believe it. The second half of life can be more exciting and more fulfilling than anything that has gone before. To prove this, I have all the evidence I need here at this party. In celebrating the birthday of Barbara Parker, we are celebrating a milestone in a life packed with activity and excitement. Never once have I known Barbara to turn away from a challenge, even when the pressure of other responsibilities was at its greatest. And so it will go on. For next year, Barbara's schedule is already pretty full. If any of you hope to fix up a meeting with Barbara before her next birthday, I suggest you check out a few dates right now. Barbara, you are an example to all of us. Thank you for being you and for adding so much to our pleasure of living. On behalf of everyone here, I wish you a very happy birthday and many more birthdays to come. Company spokesman.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for giving me an opportunity to speak about myself at this special occasion. I am Stone Lee, Executive Manager of the Sales Department of Microsoft Company. During the 2 years since I took charge of the department, the sales of our products have grown astronomically, and I am really proud of my department and my staff. Some people sometimes ask me, what is the secret of such a tremendous growth? And I always answer, harmony in the department. Harmony in the department seems to emerge as a result of mutual trust and respect between myself and my staff. Well, it really was a great honor to speak to you, and I hope this gathering will keep harmony till the end. Thank you.
Self-introduction.
Hello. It's really great to have a chance to introduce ourselves and get to know each other. I am Johnson Liu, and I am working for an advertising company in Shenzhen. I was born and raised in Chongqing, and I am 25 years old. My hobbies include reading, tennis, and golf. If anyone here does one of these things, let me know. I'm always looking for someone to join me on the golf course or the tennis court.
I think this is a good passage to practice with 3-Lee method because self-introduction is so important. Hello, it's really great to have a chance to introduce ourselves and get to know each other. I'm Johnson Liu, and I'm working for an advertising company in Shenzhen. I was born and raised in Chongqing. I'm 25 years old. My hobbies include reading, tennis, and golf. If anyone here does one of these things, let me know. I'm always looking for someone to join me on the golf course or the tennis court. Jim, could you read this as slowly as possible?
Hello. It's really great to have a chance to introduce ourselves and get to know each other. I am Johnson Liu, and I'm working for an advertising company in Shenzhen. I was born and raised in Chongqing, and I am 25 years old. My hobbies include reading, tennis, and golf. If anyone here does one of these things, let me know. I'm always looking for someone to join me on the golf course or the tennis court.
Self-introduction B.
Hello, it's a pleasure to meet you all. I am James Chow. I am from Changsha, China. This is my second trip to the United States, and I really enjoy staying here. I am working as a consultant for an overseas shipping company. I have 10 years of experience working and traveling all over Asia. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have about the international shipping industry. Thank you. New Year's speech.
Ladies and gentlemen, the new year is around the corner. I would like to extend my New Year's greetings to all my guests and wish everyone good health and happiness. The new year is a time of new beginnings and new hopes for the future. I hope that every one of you find yourself more prosperous and more content with each passing day this year. I know that this night will be a fantastic celebration of the good friendship and good spirits that can last not only a year, but a lifetime. Have a wonderful evening, everybody. Thank you.
Banquet, thank you. Speech by President Nixon of the United States of America at Welcoming Banquet. Mr. Prime Minister, and all of your distinguished guests this evening. On behalf of all your American guests, I wish to thank you for the incomparable hospitality for which the Chinese people are justly famous throughout the world. I particularly want to pay tribute not only to those who prepared the magnificent dinner, but also to those who have provided the splendid music. Never have I heard American music played better in a foreign land. Chairman Mao has written, "So many deeds cry out to be done, and always urgently. The world rolls on. Time presses. 10,000 years are too long. Seize the day. Seize the hour. This is the hour. This is the day for our two peoples to rise to the heights of greatness, which can build a new and a better world." In that spirit, I ask of you present to join me in raising your glasses to Chairman Mao, to Prime Minister Zhou, and to the friendship of the Chinese and American people, which can lead to friendship and peace for all people in the world. A wedding speech.
Ladies and gentlemen, first I want to offer my heartiest congratulations to my dearest friend, Nancy Carson, and to our handsome new husband, Paul Zhang, on the glorious occasion of their wedding. I have known Nancy since we were classmates in primary school. I won't tell you how many years have passed since then, because I don't want to give away how old we both are. But I can tell you that I have never met another person who is more warm-hearted and sincere than she is. As for her groom, I had never met him until today, but just one look at him has shown me that he is a true gentleman in every way and an ideal life partner for our beloved Nancy. I hope that only good fortune and happiness will be poured on this wonderful new couple, and that their life together will truly be a happy one. Thank you. Speech at a graduation ceremony.
Principal Johnson, honored teachers, parents, fellow students, ladies and gentlemen, as representative of the graduating class of 2001, I wish to express heartfelt appreciation and gratitude for the wonderful education that we have received at this school. For the past 4 years, we have been guided every step of the way with painstaking care and patience. As I stand here now on this glorious commencement day, I realize more than ever before what a great burden we must have been to our teachers, to our principal, and to our parents. The only thing that we can say is, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. The only thing we can give them is our sincerest pledge that we shall make every effort to prove worthy of their great devotion and sacrifice. We can only pay you back by making ourselves useful to society. I know I speak for the entire graduating class when I say that we will make you proud. Thank you.
President William J. Clinton, State of the Union Address. It doesn't matter if you like Bill Clinton or you hate him. The important thing is to learn from his eloquent speaking style. The former president always spoke with passion and emotion, even when he wasn't telling the truth. Following political speeches is an excellent way to improve your vocabulary and ability to put sentences together naturally. If you follow along to the words of great leaders, you will surely be inspired to achieve greatness yourself.
Mr. Speaker, Mr. Vice President, members of Congress, honored guests, my fellow Americans, we are fortunate to be alive at this moment in history. Never before has our nation enjoyed, at once, so much prosperity and social progress, with so little internal crisis and so few external threats. Never before have we had such a blessed opportunity, and therefore such a profound obligation, to build the more perfect union of our founders' dreams. We begin the new century with over 20 million new jobs, the fastest economic growth in more than 30 years, the lowest unemployment rates in 30 years, the lowest poverty rates in 20 years, the lowest African-American and Hispanic unemployment rates on record, the first back-to-back surpluses in 42 years. And next month, America will achieve the longest period of economic growth in our entire history. We have built a new economy. And our economic revolution has been matched by a revival of the American spirit. Crime down by 20% to its lowest level in 25 years. Teen births down 7 years in a row. Adoptions up by 30%. Welfare rolls cut in half to their lowest levels in 30 years. My fellow Americans, the state of our union is the strongest it has ever been. After 224 years, the American Revolution continues. We remain a new nation. And as long as our dreams outweigh our memories, America will be forever young. That is our destiny, and this is our moment. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Oh, that is our destiny, and this is our moment. I love those two sentences. Thank you, Jim. Farewell address by the President to the Nation, January 18, 2001, the Oval Office. This is the complete text of the speech. It is long, but full of key phrases and important sentences. Many sentences contain grammar points that are taught in junior and senior English classes all over China. A real speech will give you a valuable opportunity to see how these grammars can be used to communicate powerfully. You will see how different grammars and sentence constructions are linked to create smooth communication. After you've built up your confidence and ability by practicing shorter speeches, try reciting this complete speech for a super challenge.
My fellow citizens, tonight is my last opportunity to speak to you from the Oval Office as your president. I am profoundly grateful to you for twice giving me the honor to serve, to work for you and with you to prepare our nation for the 21st century. And I'm grateful to Vice President Gore, to my cabinet secretaries, and to all those who have served with me for the last 8 years. This has been a time of dramatic transformation, and you have risen to every new challenge. You have made our social fabric stronger, our families healthier and safer, our people more prosperous. You, the American people, have made our passage into the global information age an era of great American renewal. In all the work I have done as president, every decision I have made, every executive action I have taken, every bill I have proposed and signed, I've tried to give all Americans the tools and conditions to build the future of our dreams in a good society with a strong economy, a cleaner environment, and a freer, safer, more prosperous world. I have steered my course by our enduring values: opportunity for all, responsibility from all, a community of all Americans. I have sought to give America a new kind of government, smaller, more modern, more effective, full of ideas and policies appropriate to this new time, always putting people first, always focusing on the future. Working together, America has done well. Our economy is breaking records with more than 22 million new jobs, the lowest unemployment in 30 years, the highest home ownership ever, the longest expansion in history. Our families and communities are stronger. 35 million Americans have used the family leave law. 8 million have moved off welfare. Crime is at a 25-year low. Over 10 million Americans receive more college aid, and more people than ever are going to college. Our schools are better. Higher standards, greater accountability, and larger investments have brought higher test scores and higher graduation rates. More than 3 million children have health insurance now, and more than 7 million Americans have been lifted out of poverty. Incomes are rising across the board. Our air and water are cleaner. Our food and drinking water are safer. And more of our precious land has been preserved in the continental United States than at any time in 100 years. America has been a force for peace and prosperity in every corner of the globe. I'm very grateful to be able to turn over the reins of leadership to a new president, with America in such a strong position to meet the challenges of the future. Tonight, I want to leave you with three thoughts about our future. First, America must maintain our record of fiscal responsibility. Through our last four budgets, we've turned record deficits to record surpluses, and we've been able to pay down $600 billion of our national debt, on track to be debt-free by the end of the decade for the first time since 1835. Staying on that course will bring lower interest rates, greater prosperity, and the opportunity to meet our big challenges. If we choose wisely, we can pay down the debt, deal with the retirement of the baby boomers, invest more in our future, and provide tax relief. Second, because the world is more connected every day in every way, America's security and prosperity require us to continue to lead in the world. At this remarkable moment in history, more people live in freedom than ever before. Our alliances are stronger than ever. People all around the world look to America to be a force for peace and prosperity, freedom and security. The global economy is giving more of our own people and billions around the world the chance to work and live and raise their families with dignity. But the forces of integration that have created these good opportunities also make us more subject to global forces of destruction, to terrorism, organized crime, and narco-trafficking, the spread of deadly weapons and disease, the degradation of the global environment. The expansion of trade hasn't fully closed the gap between those of us who live on the cutting edge of the global economy and the billions around the world who live on the knife's edge of survival. This global gap requires more than compassion. It requires action. Global poverty is a powder keg that could be ignited by our indifference. In his first inaugural address, Thomas Jefferson warned of entangling alliances. But in our times, America cannot and must not disentangle itself from the world. If we want the world to embody our shared values, then we must assume a shared responsibility. If the wars of the 20th century, especially the recent ones in Kosovo and Bosnia, have taught us anything, it is that we achieve our aims by defending our values and leading the forces of freedom and peace. We must embrace boldly and resolutely that duty to lead, to stand with our allies in word and deed, and to put a human face on the global economy, so that expanded trade benefits all people in all nations, lifting lives and hopes all across the world. Third, we must remember that America cannot lead in the world unless here at home we weave the threads of our coat of many colors into the fabric of one America. As we become ever more diverse, we must work harder to unite around our common values and our common humanity. We must work harder to overcome our differences. In our hearts and in our laws, we must treat all our people with fairness and dignity, regardless of their race, religion, gender, or sexual orientation, and regardless of when they arrived in our country, always moving toward the more perfect union of our founders' dreams. Hillary, Chelsea, and I join all Americans in wishing our very best to the next president, George W. Bush, to his family and his administration in meeting these challenges and in leading freedom's march in this new century. As for me, I'll leave the presidency more idealistic, more full of hope than the day I arrived, and more confident than ever that America's best days lie ahead. My days in this office are nearly through, but my days of service, I hope, are not. In the years ahead, I will never hold a position higher or a covenant more sacred than that of President of the United States. But there is no title I will wear more proudly than that of citizen. Thank you. God bless you, and God bless America.
A speech of Louis V. Gerstner, Jr., Chairman and CEO of IBM in Beijing.
IBM has enjoyed a relationship with China that has endured for more than half a century. But I do not believe there has ever been a more exciting time to be doing business here, as vast new opportunity is created by your sweeping modernization and ambitious government-led reform programs for thousands of state-owned enterprises. This transformation, I believe, will underscore the critical importance of information technology as a driver of competitive success and real economic growth for China. So today, I want to talk to you about what I believe has to be the agenda of a leader of an enterprise, business, government agency, university, hospital, bank, anywhere in the world, the agenda regarding this technology. Some of you know that before I came to IBM, my background was a lot like yours. I was a customer of IBM. I was a customer of the computer industry. I arrived at IBM with a firmly held conviction that this technology is one of those transformational technologies that comes along every 100 years or so and changes everything in our society. Today, in almost every industry, in almost every part of the world, there are many examples of enterprises applying this technology to seize competitive advantage and to create enormous challenges for their competitors. I think we're seeing information technology reach the point that all transformational technologies reach when they are no longer controlled by just a small group of skilled professionals and they cross over to mass acceptance and ubiquity. Networking technology is still in its infancy, yet it has reached already the point where we can call it a new mass medium. Less than 5 years after the birth of the World Wide Web, some 90 million people are online around the world, and that number will be hundreds of millions before too long. Here in China, the number of internet users has nearly doubled since just last October to more than 1 million users. And I've seen statistics that say your internet population will exceed 7 million people by the year 2001.
And as we all know, it has far surpassed that. The last statistic I read said there are somewhere near 30 million internet users in China. So, it proves the point that I write later in this book. Don't bore people with too many numbers and statistics in a speech.
Attention, ladies and gentlemen, ground control to me.